Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Nice to see you, everybody at Apex Church in Peterhead, and anybody else, wherever you are. If you'd been in the madness that was going on in our flat that night, you'd have heard her say it for yourself. Our flat was on the Bull Rings in Hume in Moss Side, in Manchester. Have you heard of Moss Side? It's a really nice place. And I spent ages doing it up so that it was like a nightclub for two. A bespoke club for my girlfriend and me. You should have seen it. The windows were boarded over, so the place was pitch black. Whenever I had the big light on, we just had two spotlights on, a red one on the wall and a green one shining up from the floor. We had a psychedelic oil machine that projected patterns all across the room. I had a little home recording studio set up in the corner. And I had two massive speakers that I'd made from kitchen worktops. The crowds would be in the madness that was kicking off a mile down the road in the Hacienda nightclub. And we'd be in the madness in our bespoke nightclub for two. I'd been whizzing off my head on amphetamines for months. I hadn't slept. You should have seen me. I look like a space cadet on acid wearing a shell suit. And then one night, I thought I heard somebody shouting across from another block. And you three lads that lived in the corner flat on the top floor in a squat. I thought it was them. I said, Lisa, did you hear them shouting across then, love? No, I didn't, Barry. I heard them again. Did you hear them that time, Lisa? No, I didn't, love. So I went to the balcony door, opened it, looked across, I thought, there they are, they're at the window, right, that's it. So I grabbed my pickaxe handle from next to the door, steamed out the door, ran to the top floor, legged it across the walkway to their block. I climbed on the handrail so I could reach the side window and I smashed it in with my pickaxe handle. Ch-ch-ch, I know you're in there, ch-ch-ch, shouting across at me. I smashed all the glass out, lifted myself up and looked in. The flat was completely empty. There was nobody there. Where'd they gone? I jumped down from the rail, legged it back down to the flat. I said, Lisa, there was nobody there. She said, I know I told you that before. I said, did you tell them I was coming? I sat back down on my pub stool. That had cut the legs off to make it look oriental. And with my head sandwiched between my two massive speakers, I turned the house music right up. My girlfriend smiled, and that's when she said it. Just another day in the madness, innit? Do you know, it's not just me who's been in the madness. No, it's all of us. See, we've all been in the madness at some point on our journey of some kind. I just think about the madness that we've been in this year. Question is, what can we learn from it? Here are two lessons for you to take away. Number one, in the madness, you can take stock of yourself. The online dictionary says to take stock is to carefully consider a situation so that you can form an opinion about it, and then you can decide what to do. And I've learned it's often in the madness when people take stock of themselves. I saw my dad do this 11 years ago. If you'd been around our house when I was a kid, you'd have seen what kind of dad my dad was. My dad was the kingpin of our family. Well, he thought he was. He was the head of the house, but my mum was the neck because she told him which way to turn. He wore the trousers, but my mum told him which ones to wear. Does that sound familiar? No, but he was the kingpin of our family. when we was kids. To me, he was like Marlon Brando in that classic film, The Godfather. Do you remember that? My dad would sit in his armchair with his tracksuit bottoms on, with his leg over one arm and his remote control on the other. He was our go-to person as kids. So you can imagine how we felt when he was diagnosed with a brain tumour. He was 76 years of age and he was given just months to live. My dad had been in the madness many, many times before. This was usually caused by me. But you can imagine that this took his madness to a whole new level. It was during that time though, when my dad started to take stock of himself. Early hours one morning, after speaking in South Wales, I popped in to see him. By now, he wasn't sleeping right. His body clock was all over the place, so I could go in to see him more or less any time of day, so I popped in to see him. As soon as he saw my face, he said, "Son, can you help me find this blankety-blank God of yours?" I said, "I can, Dad." "Have you helped many?" "Yeah, just a few." I said, "Dad, I'm going to come back in the morning." He said, "Okay, lad." So the next day I got in my car, drove to Salford, parked it in the street, got out of my car, walked across the road, put my key in the door, opened the door, walked through it, went into the back room because we put a single bed there because we couldn't get him upstairs. By now, he wasn't well enough. I got him out of his single bed, put him in his wheelchair, wheeled him through into the front room, sat him in his armchair, couldn't get his leg over the side because he wasn't well enough. And then I knelt at the side of him and I grabbed his arm and he grabbed my arm. And then he said, "Son, I love you." That's the one time my dad has ever said that to me. That's not a criticism. My dad was a man's man. Men don't talk like that where he came from. He came from a mining family in Yorkshire. In fact, he didn't need to tell us. He showed us that he loved us by being the strong man that he was. And then he said, "Son, I'm proud of you." Man, that meant so much to me. After all the hurt that I'd put him through when we lived in our bespoke nightclub for two. And then I said, "Dad, pray this prayer with me." He said, "Okay." That day, my dad prayed a prayer. That day, my dad gave God consent to come in. You see, my dad took stock of himself. He thought about where he stood with God. And he decided what to do. And then later on, I went round to help him find him. See, in the madness, you can take stock of yourself. What about you? Are you in some kind of madness? Whatever kind of madness that might be for you. It could be just this madness of the pandemic. Listen, is this the time for you to take stock of yourself so that you can find God too? God's instruction, what the Bible says, if you look for him, you will always find him. And it's often in the madness, after taking stock of themselves, when people do. My girlfriend smiled, and that's when she said it. Just another day in the madness, innit? In the madness, you can take stock of yourself. And number two, in the madness, you can change your lane. I'd been in the madness in Manchester, or Madchester, as it was called in those days, for 15 years. And then I changed my lane. By now, I'd split up with Lisa, and she sold the massive speakers that I'd made at our kitchen workshops. When we lived in our bespoke nightclub for two, she sold them to a drug dealer called Digger. He just lives down the road from here. By this point in my life, I was so poor. I used to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers. I was skint. I'd lived in three hostels. I spent a year in one of those, James Street Salvation Army hostel in Salford. And then I had to get out of town, if you know what I mean. Some people were after me. So I moved to the outskirts of Manchester. And I ended up in a little flat down a little cul-de-sac. Ground floor, view of a football field. I thought, this is that country lifestyle that I've been after that you see on Emmerdale Farm, innit? I'd lived in that flat for 5 weeks and I met three people throughout a 10-day period. All of them were Christians. One of them invited me to church, so I went. I turned up that day. They were banging tambourines and waving flags around. I'm thinking, these guys are all basket cases. I came in here to get away from people who are on drugs. And then the guy gets up to speak. He says, we believe in a God who can heal. Is there anybody in this room with any issues? I'm thinking, is he having a laugh? I've got more issues than Vogue. If you want to be prayed for anything, come to the front. I thought, what have I got to lose? So I got out of my seat and I walked to the front. I was the only one stood there. This guy came up to me. What can I pray with you for? I'm thinking, how long have you got? What time do you want to be out of here? I told him. I said, I'm a heroin addict. I have been for 15 years. I'm on 55 mils of methadone. But the main thing I need prayer for is that I hear voices. I suffer from amphetamine psychosis. Because I'd stayed up for 9 months with no sleep. He says, okay, I'll pray with you. He put his hand on my head. I'm thinking, what's he touching me for? Get off me. But I thought, better not. I'm in his gaff, so I better do what he wants me to do. So I've got my eyes closed, because that's what you do in church. He's got his hand on my head and he started to pray. And as he started to pray, something started to happen. I was shaking as he was praying. I had tears streaming down my cheeks as he was praying. I had a feeling inside, like there was fire being poured inside of me as he was praying. I'm thinking, wow, get your hand off my head. And then he said, amen. Thinking, what does that mean? I opened my eyes and he'd sat down and thinking, I could have told me he'd done. On that day, when I was prayed for, I had a light bulb moment. And that was the day when I changed my lane. You see, I walked into that church, a drug addict, and I walked out of the same church, a public speaker. See, in the madness, you can change your lane. Listen up. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God became a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. He came to this earth and he was tempted just like you. And at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. On that day, they hung him there naked. It was madness. On that day, they laughed at him. It was madness. On that day, they shouted abuse at him. It was madness. On that day, they even spat on him. It was madness. But he went through all that for you. See, he died on that cross to pay the price for your faults. For your flaws and for your failures, he died on that cross so that he can wipe your slate clean. And when you give him consent to come in, that's when you can change your lane. But you need to give him consent to come in. As a travelling speaker, usually I spend half of my working year, literally, living in hotels. That's not a complaint. I love every aspect of what I do. I'm so grateful that I can do this. And once I was staying in a hotel in Derbyshire. I get invited to all these glamorous places. It was a nice hotel. My room was small. That was fine. And the door was right next to my bed. Early hours one morning, I got up to go to the bathroom. And it was pitch black. I could hardly see. And I'm fishing around for a door handle. And I found a door handle, opened it, walked through the door. Then I realised that I'd stepped into the corridor outside my room. And then as I looked round, the door closed behind me. Oh no, I've locked myself out of my room and I've only got my shorts on. So I goes down to the reception, the shutter was down. This is not a 24-hour reception. There wasn't a soul around. So I went to the front door of the hotel and just outside was this building with a light on. I thought, there might be somebody in there. I'm still half asleep. So I walks outside the door to this building, knocks on the window, and then I hear the door of the hotel close behind me as well. So now I'm stood outside the hotel. It's winter time, it's freezing cold, it had been raining, I've got nothing on my feet, and all I've got is my shorts on. What am I gonna do? So I grabbed the handle of the hotel and I pushed and pushed and pushed. No way could I get in. Oh no, it's only 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm gonna have to stand here and wait for ages until somebody comes to give me a key card to get in. Then I thought, sack that. So I grabbed the handle again and I pushed and I pulled and I pushed and I pulled and I pushed and I pulled. And the door sprang open. It was one of those magnetic type locks. So now I can get into the hotel. But where am I going to sleep? So I went to the first floor and there was a door with a sign on it, meeting room. I opened the door, popped my head in, and it was set up for a meeting the next day, horseshoe shaped. And then at the bottom of the meeting room, I saw this bench about a metre and a half long. I thought, I'll have to sleep on that. So I get rid of all the cups and saucers from the coffee table, gets the tablecloth to use as a blanket, walks down to this bench at the bottom of the meeting room, lies on it. My head's hanging off one end, my legs were hanging off the other. No way did I sleep that night. I literally lay there, freezing cold, and I watched it get light. And then I heard something happening down at the reception, about time. So it goes down to the reception and there's a woman opening up the shutter. Shh, now open. Thinking about time. I said, love, I've just slept upstairs in the meeting room. She said, you were lucky. It's usually locked. I'm thinking, lucky, I've just slept on a little wooden bench using a tablecloth as a blanket and it cost me 55 quid. Lucky, that's one way of putting it. As mad as this was though, the next day when I was sat in my room, I thought, you know, that's just like us and God that. See, in a way, we are all like the hotel. God is outside and he wants to come in, but he will never grab the handle to try to push and pull his way in. No, instead he stands there and waits until he gets a key card. He waits for you to give him consent to come in. You see, John in the Bible says this, that God stands at the door and waits. You see, he doesn't push, he doesn't pull. Listen. God will never try and force his way into your life. No, he stands and he waits for you to give him the key card. He waits for you to give him consent to come in. And when you give him consent to come in, that's when you can change your lane. Listen up. Right now, God is stood outside your life. He's standing and waiting for you to give him the key card. He's waiting for you to give him consent to come in. My question to you is, are you ready? Are you ready to give God consent to come into your life? I'm going to land this by praying a prayer. And I'm going to invite two groups of people to pray this prayer with me, the first group. Are those people, you've never prayed a prayer where you've given God consent to come in. It could be that you've been attending church for weeks, months, even years. But you as an individual, you've never given God consent to come in. It could be that you're going to church to please a spouse. Thank you. But you as an individual, you've never given God consent to come in. It could be that you've been going to church because your family's always gone to church. But you as an individual, you've never given God consent to come in. It could be that you're watching this. You never go to church. But somebody in your household does, and you're watching this because they're watching it. Listen, God stood outside your life and he wants to come in. It could be that you've just dropped onto this. Maybe not even when it's being aired, at some point you've dropped onto this. Wherever you are right now, whatever time of day it is for you, God has stood outside your life and he wants to come in. Are you ready? Are you ready to give God consent to come in? That's up to you. That's the first group. It's those people you've never prayed a prayer before. You've never given God consent to come in. And the second group of people are those people you've given God consent to come in at some point in the past. But you know that right now, on your journey, you're not cutting it. You're not living how God wants you to live. Listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation for you. But I want to say to you, pray this prayer and get back on track. You see, God doesn't want to live his life in the boot of your life. He wants to be in the driving seat. Pray this prayer, get back on track. Get back in lane. Two groups of people, you're going to pray this prayer with me. And there's a third group. The third group are those people who are watching this, you're Christians, and there's somebody with you, wherever you are, that could be praying this prayer for the first time or for the second time. Well, you're the third group. Please pray this prayer with me to encourage those two groups. Repeat after me, all three groups, phrase by phrase. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my faults, for all my flaws, and for all my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean. Because right now, I'm taking stock of myself. And I'm saying that I want to change my lane. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.